I'm Larry Holscher with LJH Farms out of West Fayette, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
As a new growing season approaches, Texas Panhandle farmers will once again find themselves attempting to make the most out of limited water. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
Preparing for cotton planting season on the Texas South Plains. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have comments with a farmer from the region who has somewhat changed his management strategies for this season. That's straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Lawmakers say there has been some movement on the farm bill. I'm Jessica Dolmel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. The National Ag Statistics Service is canceling the July cattle inventory report. Texas A&M livestock economist David Anderson says this is a very bad time to stop issuing that report.
The good thing that's in that data, and why, you know, I think I'd sure like to see that continue, is that particularly this year, next year, the year after, we're at the point where we have record high calf prices. We have a lot of interest in knowing, okay, are we about to start rebuilding our cow herds? In that data, we get a notion of the size of the calf crop, the number of heifers held back for replacements, the cow herd. That's going to really give us our first really good look at data. Are we starting to turn around and stop the decline in cow numbers and begin to go the other way? Now, what that also means is, by implication, is how we use that is, you know, how long are these high prices going to last? So we're right here at this turning point in terms of cattle numbers. That's a bad time to lose that report, I think.
NAS says cutting the report out is necessary, given appropriated budget levels. Nominations are now being sought for Texas representatives on the Cattlemen's Beef Promotion and Research Board.
The board's goal is to maintain and expand domestic and foreign markets and uses for beef and beef products. The board also manages investing beef checkoff funding. This year, there are 4 seats open to Texans on the board. They're for 3-year terms beginning in 2025 and ending in 2027. Cattle producers interested in serving on the board should fill out a form and submit it to one of the nominating organizations. Additional details and a link to the form are available on the Texas Farm Bureau website. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Dolmel.
House Agriculture Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson says he's still moving forward with the farm bill, but the likelihood of getting it passed this year is slim, according to ag lobbyist Jay Truitt with Dallas-based Policy Solutions.
We're not going to pass a farm bill, I don't believe, right before the election occurs. We're also not going to pass a budget. We're probably not going to resolve the Ukrainian or Israeli funding issues right before the election. Those are what the election is about at this point. And so the farm bill is probably going to get either attached with one of those or at least connected to them in some respect. And that means that we're looking at next year, 2025, before we really get to that.
Truitt says there will probably be another extension of the current farm bill passed this fall. Another crop season is getting underway in the Texas Panhandle, but James Hunt tells us farmers will once again try to make the most out of limited water this year.
In recent reports, Texas Panhandle farmer Dale Artho has told us about what's going on with his crop mix, some of the strategy behind what he chooses to plant. But whatever crops he's growing, like pretty much all farmers in the region, Artho faces the continuing challenge of declining groundwater availability.
It's a limited supply. What we've learned how to make a gallon of water go much farther. And we do that through no-till, through mechanisms to store moisture within the soil profile that we have. And plus, with our irrigation, we've learned about timing, when a crop particularly needs water. And so that's when we try to apply water as it's needed, not as much as a luxury, you might say. It's all about the agronomics and the traits of the plant of when it needs water.
And how the water is distributed is a key aspect of Artho's approach.
Our irrigation systems, we've gone to the low pressure, low drops that are just very close to the ground, and we've gone to a bigger droplet size that pushes that water out a little bit farther, and so that impaction on the soil and the amount of water that we need to use is decreased. And actually, whatever we're putting out, we're probably getting 98% to 99% utilization because of that, even with the wind. And I don't mean days when we have 40 and 50 mile an hour wind. None of that's good, but on a normal day, I think we're in pretty good shape, especially because of the no-till situation that we're planting in, with the cover that we have and the moisture utilization in the soil.
Dale Artho farms in Deaf Smith, Oldham, and Randall counties. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Southern Plains farmers are getting ready for another cotton growing season. Tom Nicoletti reports from Lubbock.
My guest today is Ricky Yantis. He is a cotton farmer in Lamb County. He has been growing a crop and harvesting a crop for many, many years. And what does this 2024 season look like for you at this point, Ricky?
2024 looks like some of the rest lately. It's challenging. We haven't received much precipitation at this point. We're going to start planting in about 1st of May, somewhere in there. We're hoping for some April showers.
Of course, the last couple of years have been very, very challenging with the extreme temperatures, hot temperatures, and dry conditions. So you're hoping, like other cotton farmers, for better prospects this year?
Yes, sir. Precipitation is number one. You're going to have to control your inputs until you get a crop. Our irrigation is dwindling, so we have to manage that as well. I'm going to change from a proactive to a reactive farmer for this year, and we'll see what we get.
Proactive to reactive, how so?
Well, where I would go gung-ho into the crop and try to make all I can to begin with, I'm going to sit back when I have it. I'll fertilize it and go on from there. Instead of last year, we kind of got led into a crop. It started raining. We got every seed we planted up. I fertilized every acre, and then it quit raining and got hot and dry. So this year, I'll fertilize when I see I've got a good crop.
Okay, are you both dry land and irrigated?
I'm a combination of dry land and irrigated, about 60% irrigated and 40% dry land. Cotton is a good dry land crop. If you get rains, you can make a crop on dry land. Just pray for rain and hope that the good Lord continues to bless us.
That is Lamb County cotton farmer Ricky Yantis. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Lawmakers say there has been some movement on the farm bill. Jessica Domel has the story.
House Agriculture Committee leaders say we will see movement on a new farm bill in just a few weeks. Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson told reporters this week he has found a way to fund proposed changes in farm bill commodity programs, and he is anticipating a markup in the House Ag Committee before Memorial Day. Thompson did not clarify his plans to fund proposed farm bill changes. In the other chamber, Senate Agriculture Committee Ranking Member John Bozeman spoke on the Senate floor this week about the importance of the farm bill.
Under normal circumstances, we would have been celebrating the passage of a new farm bill by now. Unfortunately, we're not there yet, and our farmers continue to face far from normal circumstances. But we are making progress, and I'm committed to meaningfully addressing the needs of farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. Alongside bolstering the Title I reference prices, maintaining and improving crop insurance is at the top of the list for my farm bill priorities. But more importantly, these are the top priorities of farmers across the country. The first of many farm bill listening sessions I've participated in started with a roundtable in Senator Hovind's home state of North Dakota. The takeaway from that event has been echoed across the countryside and in meetings throughout Washington. We need more farm in the farm bill. This next farm bill must update the risk management tools farmers and ranchers need to succeed in order to reflect the nature of the challenges under which they operate today. Because here's the reality. Producers are experiencing unprecedented challenges, regulatory uncertainty, and historic volatility in the farm economy, all of which are projected to even get worse. A producer from Minnesota told me recently that record high input costs, coupled with declining crop prices, would mean that she would have to harvest a record yield just to break even. That's not a scenario farm families want to pass on to the next generation. Historic inflation, rising interest rates, a record trade deficit, devastating natural disasters, and global disruptions will make it more difficult for our farmers to succeed in the years to come. And with an outdated farm safety net described by a Texas farmer as 2 inches above the concrete, agriculture is left wondering what level of crisis is necessary to compel Washington to act.
Bozeman said the next farm bill provides an opportunity to make things right for farmers, ranchers, rural communities, and those in need.
Working together, we can protect and enhance voluntary conservation programs, provide investments needed to open new export markets and expand existing markets, build on research that allows our farmers to do more with less while reducing environmental impacts, protect the health of our nation's herds and flocks, and help rural communities flourish and prosper. Passing such a bill is never an easy task, but it's one this body has come together to accomplish time and time again.
That was U.S. Senator John Bozeman. The current extension of the Farm Bill expires September 30th. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
This is Jim Hearn in the Rio Grande Valley. Extreme South Texas continues to warm up and weather patterns have been dry. We'll have those stories and more in today's report.
And recent studies have found better methods of milk feeding calves. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include, but are not limited to, livestock, feed, buildings, fences, and equipment. Unreimbursed additional expenses, such as temporary pastures, will also be considered. Completed applications for assistance must be submitted by May 31st to a local county farm bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
We're making Texas agriculture great again. This is Texas Ag Today.
Extreme South Texas continues to warm up while weather patterns have been dry. Jim Hearn has this update from the Rio Grande Valley.
It might be spring in the calendar, but valley weather has turned to early summer. Daytime highs have now been into the mid-90s, overnight lows only in the 60s. Now, along with the warm temperatures, the weather pattern remains very dry, and field work is progressing at a very fast pace. Falcon Reservoir continues to hold steady. It's about 16% full now. Irrigation demand has been strong for spring planting of vegetables, and citrus remains under intense pressure for irrigation. Amistad Reservoir is also holding steady. It's about 28% full. Irrigation demand, again, as we mentioned, is heavy for citrus. Crews are working on about a three-week schedule, and they continue to work around the harvesting that's going on. The harvesting of grapefruit and Valencia oranges is now nearing its end of the season. Trees have already bloomed out. It appears the new crop will be plentiful. The harvest of the spring sweet onion crop is starting, as well as the harvest of fall vegetables. Row crops continue to look really good, cotton, corn, and milo. We're going to, though, need some rain, particularly for those dry land areas. For Texas Ag Today, this is Jim Hearn in the Rio Grande Valley.
Recent studies have found better methods of milk feeding calves. Dr. Bob Judd takes a look at the studies.
Feeding dairy heifer calves better makes better milk cows. And although this sounds simple, there's not been a lot of research on milk feeding in young calves. Previously, the focus has been on cost of feeding the calves rather than return on investment. In 2014, the National Animal Health Monitoring System survey shows the average amount of milk or milk replacer fed at the time was 5.7 liters per day. Now many farms are feeding 6 and even 8 liters per day, and it is expected the amount will increase in the future. In the past, the size of the feeding bottle generally determined how much was fed, and these bottles routinely held 2 quarts or liters. Now there are 3 and 4 liter bottles available. Dr. Drackley indicates that if you take 2 calves born on the same day and feed 6 quarts a day to one and 4 quarts a day to the other, you can see increased growth in the calf fed 6 quarts as early as 2 weeks. And this seems logical, but for decades, calves have been fed with 4 quarts per day, assuming that was enough nutrition. Also, pre-weaning death losses have decreased markedly in calves fed larger amounts. Death losses in the United States in these bottle-fed calves was up to 11% for decades and was down to 6.4% in 2014. It is important to work with your veterinarian on your calf program concerning prevention and treatment of disease and management of the calves. Dr. Drackley recommends feeding 6 to 8 liters of pasteurized milk daily in 2 to 3 meals. Offer calf starter feed at 2 to 3 days of age and always have water available. Wean all calves at 8 to 9 weeks in a gradual weaning process and feed calf starter feed for 2 weeks post-weaning. Then switch to a less expensive grower concentrate.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, buildings, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to TexasFarmBureau.org.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up the week on Friday. Not a good day to end the week for cattle futures. Triple-digit losses once again in the cattle complex. April live cattle dropped $1.35, ending the week at 178.90. June down 242, 171.47, with August live cattle down 270 at 168.75. Feeders taking a loss as well. April feeders down $1.57, 237.60. May down 395, 234.20, with August feeder cattle down 345. 245.50. Cash fed cattle wrapping up the week selling cattle here in the Southern Plains at 182. That's $2 lower compared to last week. In the Northern Plains, live sales mostly 185, dressed sales 293 to 295. Those prices $2 to $4 lower. Boxed beef prices higher, choice up 207 at $300.44, select up $1.13. 296.28. Now let's check those auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Doug Bass and his family and crew own and operate Cattleman's Columbus. They sell every Wednesday. Doug, how'd the sale go?
We ended up 734 head of cattle. Market looked steady to a little cheaper in some spots. Dang sure a good, strong market.
Walk the pens with me.
Yes, sir. On your thinner, lower-yielding cows, 90 to 111. Medium-flesh cows, 115 to 123. Your better high-yielding cows, 125 to 140. Lower-yielding bulls, 115 to 129. Higher-yielding bulls, 134 to 156. Pairs, yes, bring anywhere from 1,500 to 2,900. Bred cows anywhere from 1,000 to 2,200. The calf market, it looks steady. Could have been a little softer in spaces, but darn sure stout. 2 to 3 weight steers, 310 to 390. Heifers, $3 to 367. 3 to 4 weight steers, 290 to 375. Heifers, 270 to 320. 3-4 to 5 weight steers, 260 to 3 and a quarter. Heifers, 240 to 290. 5 to 6 weight steers, 240 to 291. Heifers, 231 to 269. 6 to 7 weight steers, 230 to 266. Heifers, $2 to 250. 7 to 8 weight steers, 220 to 238. Heifers, 190 to 220. And your 800 to 1,000 pound steers and bullyards bring 152 to 174. Heiferettes, 150 to 169.
What was the count?
734.
Do you know of anything for this next week?
Yeah, so we got some cattle lined up for next week. Could have another little cow sale. I got another man talking about selling some more cows. But I'll definitely let y'all know when we talk next week. Would also like to remind everybody about our special sale May 25th. We're taking consignments, so give us a shout.
It won't be too long from now. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you, Doug Bass.
Yes, sir. My cell's 979-877-4454. Office is 979-732-2622.
Neighbor, that was Doug Bass, and I'm Larry Marble. And that's all for today's edition of Walking the Pens. Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. Neighbor, good day to you.
Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs took a big drop on Friday. April hogs down 57 cents at 90.87, but the May contract dropped 3.42 to finish at 93.87. Class 3 milk was higher. Nearby April milk up a penny, 15.41 a hundredweight, with May milk up 39 cents, 16.41 a hundred. Cotton closed lower. We did see some higher action earlier in the session on Friday. Gold and oil both had some sharply higher trades. However, that settled down a bit. So did the cotton market. On the close, we were lower, with May cotton down 75 points, 82.62. July down 66, 84.59. While new crop December was down 58 at 80.11 cents. Corn and wheat both finishing higher. Corn has been bouncing around after Thursday morning's USDA WASD report. It was a bit disappointing. USDA did lower U.S. ending stocks by 102 million bushels, down to 2.12 billion. However, that number was disappointing because they were expecting a much lower number. We bounced back, however, on Friday and recovered some of Thursday's losses. May corn up 6 3/4, 435.5. July corn up 6 1/4, 447.25. While September corn was up 6 1/4, 456 3/4. Both hard and soft wheat were higher on Friday. May Kansas City wheat up 6 1/2, 589 3/4. May Chicago wheat up 4 1/4 at 556 a bushel. In the energy markets, May natural gas up a penny at $1.77. May West Texas crude up 45 cents, 85.47 a barrel. The financial market sharply lower, the Dow dropping 485 points, 37,973. The NASDAQ down 266 at 16,175. The S&P down 75 at 5,123. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.